And Father, we stand in awe of you and everything that you've done and what you're doing. But most of all, of who you are. Who you are, Daddy. Who you are. Your love is overwhelming. And we ask for your forgiveness, Father, in anywhere, any area, and anything we've done that's offended you, of thoughts, words, or deeds. Any works of the flesh, selfish ambitions, come in agreement with the voice of the stranger, and just plain stinky religion. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Wash us with the blood and purge us with your presence. As we welcome the Holy Spirit to come, come Holy Spirit, take your rightful place and establish, perfect, sanctify. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our heart to receive what you have to tell us today, that we may be more about our Father's business and more in your image. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now go give somebody a Holy Ghost hug and tell them this is your day. Praise God. It's another beautiful day in God's neighborhood. Amen. And it's a wonderful day to die to yourself. Glory. Would you mind pulling your swords out? It's time to sharpen them. God is good. All the time. I'm telling you what. Man, did you feel the breeze as your worship? See, but the devil tried to tell you, well, that's just coincidence. Well, if you get in the spirit, you'll realize. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Galatians chapter 5, please? Galatians chapter 5. You know, one of the powerful things that, you know, we know God is really moving mightily in all areas, and especially all globally. We know that time is running out. We know that there is a move of God, and he's drawing his people, and there's something within each and every one of us that there's something more we're supposed to be doing. And in this, one of the things that, you know, God begins to do in us is prepare us for not only what's coming, but heal us of our past and establish in the present. And all of these areas that God is moving mightily, one of the things he desires that you and I do, just like what he did, was leave a legacy. Does everybody understand? In other words, you know, there are many memorials out there and all kinds of things. And, you know, there's even a memorial of all those who've died in war. And they've left a legacy. Their name is written. And thank God that our name is written in the book. But one of the things that the Lord desires us to do is to leave a legacy in every area of our life. Wherever you've been, wherever you've worked, whoever you have associated with, that something be left with them that would bring glory to God. Does everybody understand this? In other words, we get calls from people and all kinds of things where people have been or they've been at a service or they've been somewhere. In other words, what happened was they remember something that happened in their life or a seed that was planted or some good deed or whatever somebody did that left a legacy, amen, in every area. Now, one of the things that the devil wants to do is he wants to leave it a legacy too. And because God is moving so mightily right now, everything that is happening in the area that God is moving is one of the areas that he wants us to do is continue to walk in the Spirit. Has everybody got it? Walk in the Spirit. Because without learning, and that should be the life of every believer, is to walk in the Spirit. Not walk by assumption, not walk with false hope, not walk because of anything else, but walking in the Spirit. And it's going to take two things to leave a legacy and walk in the Spirit. It's going to take discipline and obedience. But I'm not talking about those today. But we will. It's going to take discipline and obedience, because obedience is the ultimate everything with God Almighty. Everything. Without obedience, there is nothing. And Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16, would y'all read it with me? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or that you desire or that you feel. Feel. See, so many people are still walking in the soulish realm instead of the spirit. The soulish realm are those who are led by how they feel. And let me tell you, one of the most dangerous people to be around is one who is led by how they feel. Because you'll never know what they're going to do. Are you listening? And verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and revelries, and the like. In other words, anything else associated with them, just because it's not labeled here. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice, everyone say practice, such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's impossible. But I'm a believer. But if you're doing those things, God will not allow you in the kingdom. Does everybody understand this? There's a difference between anointed works and dead works. Dead works are works that are done in the flesh, and anointed works are done through the Spirit. That's why he says we must be in the Spirit. Every believer should have a life of walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now the law he's talking about in the flesh is the law of death. Hello. It's the law of death, because the end result of people living in the flesh will die. Let's go a little further. And it says, and those who are Christ, in other words, walking in the Spirit, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And that is filled into Scripture, that those who are in Christ are a new creation, and old things have passed away and all things become new. Has everybody got it? It doesn't mean you won't be tempted. It means you have dominion over all things. Has everybody got that? It's important. If you're walking in the Spirit, you have dominion. You're no longer drinking. You're no longer cussing. You're no longer doing those things. You are a brand new creation in Christ because you're walking in the Spirit. Does everybody get this? Because you are walking in the Spirit of God Almighty, you are a new creation. And all things have passed away and all things have been brand spanking new. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. So a life of a believer is to walk in the Spirit. Why are we going to walk in the Spirit? Why does God desire for us to walk in the Spirit? So that you and I can produce anointed works. Everybody say anointed works. These works are a memorial to the Lord, because he gets the glory. Has everybody got it? They're a memorial to the Lord because he gets the glory. But there are works that are a memorial to Satan's kingdom. And those are works of the flesh. What do you want to be memorized by? In memory of you. What do you want? Well, people want to know that you're a man of God or a woman of God or a backslidden believer. Works of the flesh. Has everybody got it? What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? So there's either works of the flesh or works of the Spirit. So these works of the Spirit are anointed works, and the works of the flesh are works of powers of darkness that want to use me and you. In Romans 8. How many of y'all know God is testing and judging right now? Romans chapter 8. Verse 10. Romans 8 and verse 10. You know, God gives us talents. He gives us abilities. He opens the doors for you and I can walk and be able to be led by the Spirit. But all of this is so that he can get the glory. Does everybody get it? He must get the glory. You and I must leave a legacy behind, a memorial unto him, no matter what. That's what our life is about. We are to labor unto the Lord, not unto self. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, You want to leave something behind that will always witness Christ, either in the workplace, people you meet on the street, wherever it is. Has everybody got it? Listen, I went out to dinner the other night with me and my daughter, and I brought the chopper out. And this brother comes up behind me and hugs me, and he says something about the bike, the witness, right? And he saw the bike, and he came up to me and said, powerful. Why? He got a witness on it, didn't he? But see, just that alone. Now, if he got a witness and he's a believer, just think about how many other people saw that bike that said, Christ the King, and I'll be back Jesus on it. So even a material product, something that you and I are producing or making, whatever it is, as long as the works are anointed by God, will leave a witness. Has everybody got it? It's important. Romans 8 and verse 10, read it with me. And it says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a son or a daughter of God. Now listen to this for a second, because Jesus was the ultimate Son of God, wasn't he? Did he leave a legacy behind? Yes. In fact, he left disciples behind, didn't he? Hello. So that's why it's important that not only as we're being discipled by the Spirit, that we disciple. Why? How are you going to disciple? Well, you know, God always puts somebody across our path, no matter what it is, to share. It doesn't matter how long you've been a believer. Everything that you have learned from the moment you've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you got something to give. Amen? You've got some good anointed works to give out so somebody can know Christ through you in every area. We are sons and daughters of God. If we're led by the Spirit. Why? Because by being led by the Spirit, it produces anointed words as a memorial or witness to Christ. Has everybody got it? Go to Psalm 92. So there are either works of the devil or works of the Spirit. And you know how those works are produced? What you yield to. What we yield to. We're either yielding to the flesh or yielding to the Spirit. Psalm 92. Everybody there? Let's read this from the beginning. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. All right, do we declare his loving kindness this morning? Do we praise him? Hallelujah. See, there are three chambers of the tabernacle of God. There is the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And there are too many outer quarters. Because see, in the outer courts, flesh is still manifested. Are you listening? That's why we must worship. Worship. Now let's go a little further. Hallelujah. In verse 3. On an instrument of 10 strings, on a lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your what? Work. And I will triumph in the works of your hands. In other words, he's going to work through you to be victorious. Oh, Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know what? The anointed works. They're senseless. They're foolish. That's where the Bible tells us that those people who do not understand the true meaning of the cross, it's foolishness to them. Nor does a fool understand this. Verse 7, when the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. So the workers of iniquity are workers of the flesh. Those are dead works. They produce nothing. The only thing they produce is glory to self. But you and I are going to do works that produce glory to the Lord. Verse 8, But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies shall perish. And all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, or works of the flesh. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Hallelujah. See, God replenishes us with fresh oil when needed. But you got to worship. Worship brings the oil. Verse 11. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Did anybody ever see something happen to somebody that rise up against you? Well, you won't see it if you're not walking in the Spirit and doing the right thing. I love when people get saved. I love it. And I love when pride gets humbled. Why? Because I know when an individual gets humbled, they're getting ready to get rescued. Hallelujah. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. All courts. What courts are there? Outer, holy place, and most holy place. And those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Hallelujah. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise be to God. So we will be glad and we will triumph. Why? We'll be victorious through his works. But the workers of iniquity will be destroyed. It is our responsibility to tear down memorial works of darkness in our lives. It is our responsibility to tear them down. Those are altars also of darkness. It's our responsibility to tear these memorial works of darkness down in our life and replace them with the works of the Lord that others may see and bring glory to God. Remember, there are many who have been called, but few are chosen. Amen. The word called means invited. God calls us to produce these things. But if we're individuals that constantly want to do our way and not his way, we'll never produce anointed works. Now, the Bible tells us that the anointing draws us. No man comes to the Father except for through the Son, and he was the anointed one. So the anointing draws us. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. The anointing of God, the presence. That's what we live for. We live for the anointing. Hallelujah. So our anointed works of the Spirit will become a living memorial or witness to our King of Glory. Go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. And the tambourines and stuff playing and... John chapter 9 and verse something. Let's start at verse 3. And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus was saying, I must work the works of him who sent me before I am crucified. Does everybody got it? And then once he was crucified and rose from the dead, he sent his Spirit to me and you so that we can work the works of him who sent us. Does everybody get this? See, this is how our life should be. We should be saying, I must work the works of him who sent me. What works? The anointed works. Those things of witness, those things of conduct upright, those things of leaving and building a memorial by anointed works. Praise God. Go to John 10 while we're there. In verse 25, Jesus answered them. He said, I told you, and you do not believe, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, glory. I love that. Because, see, this is where the word believe means to follow. It means to what? Follow. He says, my sheep follow me. So these works, now listen, these works and memorials that you're doing is going to bring witness to the Christ that's in you and bring glory to the Father. Has everybody got it? Praise God. Go to verse 38. Verse 37. Read it with me. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. All praise be to God. That the Father is in me. Now the Bible says that you and I are now the temple of the living God, aren't we? So if we're the temple of the living God, there should be some works following us. In fact, go to Mark 16 for a second while we're here. Mark 16, hallelujah. There are works and there are signs and there are seeds. Mark 16, verse 16. Would you read it with me? And it says, he who believes, what's the word believe mean? Follow. And is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In other words, these are going to be anointed works that are going to follow. And he says, in my name, they will what? Cast out demons. Have you cast out a demon yet? Especially the one that's in you. Hallelujah. Just look in the mirror and get rid of it. Don't worry, somebody else will help you. In my name they will cast out demons. Is that a sign? Is that a good work? Is that anointed works? Amen. Is that going to bring glory to the Lord? Amen. He says, in my name, cast out that demon, man. And they will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Those are gifts of the Spirit. And these are available for every believer, speaking in tongues. Well, I never heard of that. Well, you heard of it now. Hallelujah. That's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the kingdom of God gets manifested in you then. The kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. How are other people going to know if you can't cast out a devil? It's got nothing to do with salvation. It's about leaving a memorial. Everybody got this. Man, you pray for somebody to cast out that devil? Jesus gets the glory? They're going to know God's real. And they're going to know that the name above all names conquers everything. And it says, and they'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. And I didn't say alcohol. Hello? Because that will kill you. That's an accursed item also. So anyways, in this, what he's talking about is you can eat something or drink something by mistake and it won't hurt you. You'll live. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean you're going to go out and tempt God and siphon out gas, drink Sinai, or play with serpents. Because they'll bite you and you'll die. It's called tempting God, isn't it? Think about how many times we tempted God. Every time we drank, every time we used drugs, we were actually tempting God, not even realizing it. And it says, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will what? They will recover. Praise God. They will what? Recover. Hallelujah. You ever lay hands on somebody and they get healed or they recover? They were sick and then now they were dying and now they are alive. Command tumors to die in the name of Jesus. Man, I've seen people get healed in all kinds of ways. That should be anointed works that follow me and you as a believer if you're walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, that ain't going to happen. We must be walking in the Spirit to leave a witness of Christ. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to John 14. John 14. And verse 11. John 14, 11. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. Now wait a minute, what's the word believe mean? Follow. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now that's powerful. Why? Because you and I have access to more things now. There's radio, TV, all kinds of things where we can actually reach more people than in Jesus' day. And we're to be doing the same works he was doing. Now, I'm not telling everybody go to the cemetery and raise all the dead. Hello. That's not what he's talking about. But if somebody dies in front of you and the Lord says raise them, you do it. Somebody gets in an accident on the side of the road and they're laying out there, you go over there and lay your hands on that person. Somebody starts manifesting and says, pray for me, cast the devil out of them. Has everybody got it? Why? These are signs. These are anointed works. And who's going to get the glory? Jesus. Jesus will. Praise God. And these are an area where you and I walk as a witness. Now, that's why the Bible says in Acts 1:8, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll have power to what? To be a witness. That's why he commanded his disciples to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And too many believers are not baptized in the Spirit. And it's a bummer to live on this planet your whole life to be called a believer and never cast out a devil or lay hands on someone to get healed. That's not what God intended for me and you. It's just go to a church and keep a pew warm. Or be in a choir or an usher. No, there's a lot more. We are to be the extension of his hand, his love, and his power through this whole world, wherever you go. Whether you're on a plane, whether you're in a cave. Hello? Whether you're on the corner, whether you're on the bus. I mean, there is an opportunity to leave a memorial and a witness for Jesus the Christ. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2. He's calling us to a deeper place, isn't he? 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, Lord, we just pray for the victim. And we ask that you'll visit them and heal them. Whatever the circumstances, Father, that you would be glorified in that person or people, whatever's happened, Father, would be saved. In Jesus' name. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Would you read it with me? Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God on a day of what? Visitation. So is the world looking at you? Let me tell you, when you tell somebody you're a believer, they're checking you out. Checking you out to see whether you're in fornication, to see whether you're a liar, to see whether you're a manipulator, to see where you are. And you want to leave anointed works, don't you? Your good works, anointed works, conduct. Your conduct and how you take care of business also. Whether you're a businessman or a businesswoman, what you do at work. You can go through a store and purchase some product and the person can give you extra change. And all of a sudden you realize about it when you go outside. You go, oh man, you don't say, well, the Lord must have blessed me with it. Hello. You go back in and you offer it back. Why? Because that is a sign and wonder. It leaves a memorial and a witness to that individual of who Christ is because of what you just did. Now, I'm not telling you to just turn everything in. If you find $1 million on the side of the road, make sure you call me. We'll get counsel on it, okay? Praise God. Oh, don't get religious on me now. James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 14. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Now, I want you to understand something about faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. In other words, God tells you what to do. God tells you what to do. And as you listen and obey God, you are walking in faith. Too many people walk in assumption. And that assumption will not produce anointed works. Faith produces anointed works. Why? Because God said to do it. Let's go a little further. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Those are called good works, aren't they? They're anointed works. Why? Because we're to be helping individuals. But I'm not telling you you're supposed to give $20 to a crack addict. Hello. You're not supposed to give $10 to a person that drinks. Why? Because you could end up killing them. And then the blow will be on your hands. Does everybody understand it? You must be wise and have discernment of who you help. Now, I've had many people come up to me and say, listen, I need $10 for this or $10 for that. They'll tell me that they want food. You know what I'll do? I'll bring them and feed them. But no devil's going to deceive me, because he who's in me is greater than he is in the world. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you won't be deceived. You'll have discernment, and you'll be able to leave an anointed work, no matter what it is. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go a little bit further. Verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, your works will be anointed works. If you're listening to the Lord, walking in faith, it'll be left a memorial. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. People will remember. Revelation chapter 2. We'll start at verse 1. Says to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. God knows our works, doesn't he? Your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Well, that's pretty good, huh? Praise God. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You have what? Left your first love. Now, listen, watch this. This is powerful. He says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you what? Repent. Now, this is very powerful, because individuals that have started their relationship with the Lord and were listening now began to stray. They began to do works that were not ordained by the Lord, and they didn't finish what God told them to do from the beginning. Are you listening? They left their first love, fell into works without relationship. They left, or they didn't finish what they were supposed to do from the first. Or they did not do it correctly and needed to get back to him so that the works would be anointed. See, that's why it's so important in your relationship. Why? Because your relationship with the Lord is allowing you to hear what he's saying to do. But these individuals got so caught up in works that they began to walk away from the relationship. Now they believe that their works were saving them instead of their relationship. And that's a ploy of the devil. Well, I'm a good person. No, good people go to hell. Only the Lord, the righteous ones, go home. Those who eat of the tree of the life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's go a little further. Go to verse 24. Is everybody there? And we'll close here. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. So we're to know the tactics of the devil. It's our responsibility. Why? Because we're to be tearing down memorials that he's established. Is everybody okay? But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works. not works of the flesh, but anointed works. Until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And that is a message from the Lord to us today and to each and every one here. I encourage you to take it seriously. Take it seriously. Because all of us will be accountable for what we just heard today. And we will continue on those areas that will produce good works, and that is discipline and obedience. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We apply the blood of Jesus on this seed. We ask that you allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory as we prepare our hearts for communion with you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.